basically a little recap. We're in this pasuk, right, of Bereishis, which says Bara Elokim. And it says, why did it say here Bara Elokim and not Bara Hashem? And then the answer is given that in a different place it says Hashem Elokim. And in the beginning, Alav Machshava went into his thought to create the world, Alpi Midas Adin. And then he shat for Imo Midas Arachamim, and that's why it says Hashem Elokim. Right? When you're in the Pasuk, Dalet Beis. Sorry, Beis Dalet. Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet. Right? You with me? Everyone's with me? So now we want to understand what this means. What does it mean that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the beginning of his creation, Alav HaMachshava created Alpi Midas HaDin? We said that Din, right, means pure justice. That means the tachlis of the creation is that we should be Omed Bedin. We stand according to strict justice. And we gave the mashal of a son, right? We gave the analogy of a son, of a very rich father, who gave him everything he needed. The son's going to be a spoiled brat. He's not going to earn his living. And then we gave a son of a clever, rich father, who let his son earn his living. So that's basically is the analogy for us in this world. Kodesh Baruch Hu is a wise father, kiviyochel, for us. And he created the world so that we would be omed bedin, that we would be deserving of what, of our positions. Now, we still don't know why he created the world. The purpose of the world that we would stand and did. So you create a human being that he will be deserving of his position, of his spiritual position that he gets, and then you'll judge him. That's the purpose of creation. That looks very strange as a purpose. Looks like, you know, futile. You create these ants and let them, you know, build an ant. I said, guys who built the highest or the best ant house, well, you know, what does this mean? So let's try and understand. What does it mean that he saw the world wasn't going to be mitkayim and be api midas adin? That he shat for ima midas rachamim. And he put rachamim first. He put mercy first. Loving kindness first. What does that mean, he put loving kindness first? Because the tachlis, the real rotzen of the Bria. Of course we have to be omed bedin. But the real rotzen of the Bria, the real purpose or will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu creating the Bria is lehetiv. To do us good. He created the world lehetiv lebruyav, to do good to his creations. That's why when it says shat ve'imo midas harachmim, he put midas harachmim before midas adin, because that's the inner rotzen. That's a rotzen before midas adin. You with me? You understand why I'm using the word midas harachmim, midas adin? Loving kindness, midas adin, justice, yeah? Okay. So since that's his inner rotzen, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, by definition, represents Kulo Tov, someone who is complete goodness. And his inner rotzen is Lehitiv, to give us goodness. How can he give goodness? In order to give of his goodness, he needs to create creations to give of his goodness, correct? Because his goodness, you're good only in potential unless you have creations to express that goodness to them. So he creates creations to do them good. Now what's the ultimate goodness? The ultimate goodness is that a person will be deserving of the goodness which he attains. You with me? And therefore the marshal has to be a father who wants to give good to his son in a way that he earns that goodness. And therefore he'll be omed bedin, he'll stand bedin. And that's the rotzen of our creation. That's the inner rotzen of our creation. Why it starts off here, to create the heavens and the earth, api mi midas adin. Because in order to give place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, he needed to separate from his world. I.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in this world, just him. He's the primordial existence. That's what Havaya means. He's the primordial existence. And in order to create a space for us, he had to somewhat negate himself from this world. Negation of goodness is din. That negation, that boundary of goodness in creating this world for us, that's the concept of Allah Bach Machshavah to create the world of Midas Adin. That's why it says in the beginning. Kol Bereishis says Bereishis because that's the beginning of the creation, right? Then Shat Ve'Imo Midas Harachmin. When does that happen? That happens in the next pasuk where it says Vayhi O. He brought light back. His light of his eternal presence. The third pasuk. Vayom Elokim Yehi O Vayhi O. He said, "Let there be light," and there's light. We're not going to learn that now in full. We'll come back to that. But if you look at that, Rashi says that light doesn't mean light as we understand light, not tangible light, spiritual light. Because that's the light that the tzaddikim get, latid level. That's the ziv hashchina, the radiance of his presence that we endeavor to deserve, right? And that's what we get in Olam Haba, in the world to come, with where we stand bedin, where we omed bedin. You with me? Okay. So that's the Shat Ve'Imo of Midas HaRachamim. So the Kabbalists, I'm not speaking Kabbalah because anything that I say obviously is not Kabbalah, but it's the Kabbalists. I say the Kabbalists because that's where it's brought down. Explain that this concept of Tzimtzum, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in the world and he contracts himself from the world. The contraction from the world is this concept of Tzimtzum, that he removes himself from the world in a form of like a circle. Yeah? And he negates himself from the world. And within this circle, which he's all around, is now going to be this world, is the world of Din. This world of Din has no kiyum. Shat Ve'Imo Midas HaRachamim, he puts in a line called the Kav, the Kabbalists call it. That's Vihi O, right? And Shat Ve'Imo Midas HaRachamim, now if he was to bring himself back into this, so speak, this circle which he negated somewhat himself from the world, right? That's the Ra in the world, the evil in the world, the negation of his goodness. That's Din, that's justice, that's how we get Tzchava, Onish, it comes from Ra, comes from evil in the world. One sec. Shat Ve'Imo Midas HaRachamim, this Kav that he puts into the world, this line he puts back into the world, and connects to this Nekuda Emsais, this middle Nekuda in the world. That's where this small Nekuda, this small point in the middle of this circle, or down in the circle, I'm not going to go into that, right? This small point is called his Malchus, his expression. This small point is called our cosmos. The line is the spiritual worlds. So in comparison to this line, our cosmos is a little dot. And from this dot, we created the cosmos. You call it Big Bang, whatever it was, I have no clue. That makes no difference. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the cosmos and the world, however the world was created, from this little Nekuda. And this little spot is our cosmos, and within this spot is the earth. And then we'll see later on, the psukim will go directly to the earth. So now, at this stage in the psukim, we're speaking about that the world is just void. This is just negation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world. And I explained to you, the reason he did this is why. And he put his line in and didn't bring himself back into the world, because had he brought himself back into the world, he'd start on square one again. So he had to metzamtzem himself, had to put himself into the world in a contracted way with this line, so that he would be radiate of his goodness into the world, but not completely fill the world. And that's how God relates to the world. Now if you understand this deeply, I'm going to just throw something in, you will understand how Judaism is very different from every other religions. Because this line that Kodesh Baruch Hu connects to this world, right, this world of a circle, right, is this concept of male and female. This concept of male and female you are going to see throughout Chumash. The relationship that Kodesh Baruch Hu has to the world is kivyochol as a male who expresses his goodness into the world, and the world is this place of Kabbalah, of receiving and being expressed that goodness. So Judaism, right, the height of Kedusha and holiness is the expression of male and female, of expressing your tzura, your form, and being expressed in the world. That's why in Judaism we don't believe in celibacy. The height is Kedusha, holiness, marriage. Right? And that's very different if you understand. I'm just going to throw something in again. I don't expect you to understand. Buddhism believes in a circle. They don't believe in a line. Christianity has no concept of lines either. The line, if you understand soon, will get there hopefully. This line represents, right, marriage, or and it also represents mitzvahs. The Zohar explains that this, and the Zohar only speaks about this line. This line is where we get this concept of mitzvahs. So any religion that doesn't have mitzvahs, i.e. Christianity, i.e. Islam, and maybe they do have, I'm not sure, but Christianity doesn't, i.e. Buddhism, does not have this concept of a line. You understand what I'm saying? And therefore, by definition, the concept of marriage they don't have really a concept. It's not something, it's something bidyev, it's something that you have to do, at least in Christianity. It's better to be a monk, better to be celibate. In Judaism, that's the way. Certainly in Buddhism, there's no concept of marriage. That was the final fight, apparently. I don't know too much, I only know what my students tell me. The final fight that Buddha had was against the woman, because that's evil, that's the last final evil. Judaism, when we learn the parasha of Adam and Chava, you'll see a completely different concept. We would understand what the shorash is, you understand what the reasoning is. So when Chumash is telling you things like this, Chumash is telling you a very deep concept. Now this concept, if you think about it, and we'll go through Chumash, little by little, you'll see will come up all the time. This concept of form and expression of that form. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world. And if you understand why, the reason is that we'll be deserving of being His expressors in this world, and therefore we'll be Omid Bedin, will stand in judgment and be deserving of that place we receive because of being His expressors. And how do you become? How do you receive the ultimate goodness? Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baal HaTova, I'm telling you now the Ramchal, he's a Baal HaTova, a person who owns the ability to give good. The only way you can be good, and ultimately good, the best way of being good, is if you become a Baal HaTova like him. Because since he represents ultimate good, for you to be like him, that you're a Baal HaTova, a person who earns the ability to do good, i.e. you have free will to do good, and therefore to do bad, only then you become Domei to him. That's this concept of Tzelem Elohim, that you're Domei to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you have the ability to come like him and receive that ultimate goodness. And therefore the only way you can be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you have this concept of free will, i.e. free will is intrinsic to this concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of deserving your reward in the world. i.e. Chumash is actually explaining to you why it's necessary for this concept of free will. You with me? Because I said a lot in a few words. We'll stop here. We've got to the stage that God removed himself from the world. How did the world look at this stage? So the next pasuk, right? V'ha'aretz haita tohu v'vohu. The land was tohu vavohu. What does that mean? So let's see Rashi. The land was tohu vavohu. Tohu means, let's see Rashi says, tohu loshen tema, wonder, complete wonder, v'shmamon, and desolateness. Sha'adam tohe, he's wonderful, wondrous, u'mishtomem, and like, he goes out of his mind, al bohu shabo, on the bohu that is in it. Now, what does that mean? The removal of God's presence from the world created tohu, your darkness, but created a tohu. What's a tohu? Tohu is what the Greeks called the primordial form. I'm telling you, Rabbeinu Bechaya, what's called, or Ramban, yi'uli. You've heard this concept, yi'uli? That's the first form of some matter of it's talking about spiritual worlds, remember. Yi'uli, of form in the world. This form has no form. The bohu, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, right, is the first form that this thing has. I.e., this is desolation with a form, with a potential of form. It hasn't yet got its form. This is desolation with a potential of form. You with me? That's what we have in this world. Now remember, we're speaking about not the physical world. We're speaking about all the spiritual worlds and this little dot called our cosmos, which is the physical world. Yeah? You with me? You understand? Now, what does it mean, Tohu? Why is this the world has to be created in such a way that it's desolation and then we give form? What is this teaching? What piece of Torah is this teaching us?
When God removes himself, there's absolutely nothing.
No, but there is form. God obviously can't completely remove himself from the world, right? So that's the little form that there is. His presence, his reshimo, his imprint still remains in the world.
Like
that's the bohu. The shtu. Okay. When there's not God's presence, life is shmama, desolation, tohu. Makes no sense, no form. That means presence of God gives form. The non-presence of God gives no form. Right? No form. Shmama, we don't understand the non-formness that there is there. Now I'm going to tell you a Chazanish. There's an interesting Chazanish. Chazanish, when he starts, is Emunah v'Bitochon, and says that he speaks about what's Emunah. And he's speaking about, says, and he's speaking, in a sense, I think he's speaking about himself. That a person, when he sees the world, the heavens, the earth, and everything around it, and who's mishtomem, he's like, how do you say mishtomem? He's like wondrous at the complexity of the world and the understanding that he has of the world. And what does that bring him? It brings him to desire, a deep desire to want to understand. That when you see something which does not have form, the natural human feeling, when I say human, I don't mean the bodily feeling, the natural human, his neshama, wants to give it form. That's intrinsic to a human being. That when he sees chaos, he wants to give form to that chaos and wants to give form to his life. You with me? That's intrinsic to the creation. That's intrinsic to human nature. Most people start their lives, right, where they get to the stage in their lives where there's desolation and then they give it form. Or it's called, in another way, it's called galus, is mechayev geula. I say galus.
Exile
obligates geula, obligates redemption. That means non-form causes a person to come to form. Or you say different psychological terms, you say pain and despair will cause a person to change, to give form to his life.
So a lot of people that feel like they're lacking something is that
it's natural.
That's when they turn to them, yeah. Come off the shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. They can start looking, yeah. They begin to think. They begin. That's the form. Now we're going to go to Baita. So it says, Va'aretz haita tohu v'bohu, v'choshech al pnei hatohom, and there was darkness on the faces of the depths. Now, Rabbeinu Bechayim, I'm going to use Rabbeinu Bechayim because it's very hard to understand this possible without him. Rabbeinu Bechayim explains now, this choshech, this darkness, represents what's called Eish. Rabbeinu Bechayim is saying, now we're speaking about the four elements that are in the world. Now, obviously, these elements don't mean Eish, fire, as fire as we know it. Fire is only a representation of these concepts. Because we're talking about the Haaretz, Rabbeinu Bechayim says, means Afa, the dust. That's the inner form from which the cosmos was formed. Above that, the first form, above everything is Eish, that's Choshech. Then he says, Apnei Tohom, the depths. What's the depths made from? Veruach Elokim Merachefet, hovers, Apnei Hamayim. The next level is Ruach, is the spirit, or the wind, however you want to call it, that's the next element, which is Apnei Hamayim. The inner element is Mayim, and underneath that is the Haaretz, which is Afa. This is the lower levels of our world, of our spiritual world, i.e. this cosmos, what's embellishing this cosmos, the spiritual world's embellishing this cosmos is Afa, on top of that Mayim, on top of that Ruach, on top of that Eish. These are the four elements of the lower physical world. You with me? These don't mean physical things. This means metaphysical things, right? Now we've forgotten about the upper spiritual worlds. We're coming down to the lower spiritual world. This pasuk brought us into the lower spiritual worlds near the cosmos. We're getting closer. So you're explaining, you understand how we're explaining here. We're explaining metaphysics. We're not explaining physics here. We're still dealing with the spiritual worlds here. Then we go. Right? Vayhi O. Vayom Elokim Vayhi O. And let there be light. Vayhi O. And there was light. And light came into existence. Right? So there's no Rashi here, so you go to the next pasuk. Now I'll explain. This O, we're going to see what that represents. This represents God's divine presence coming into the world in a formatted way, in a way of a line or kava, as we explained before, right? Vayar Elokim, and God saw eta or kitov, because it represents His goodness. It's good. Vayavdel Elokim, and God separated bein haor bein achoshek, between the light and the darkness. Now, it's possible it doesn't make sense. God brings the world, light into the world, and He separates it between the light and the darkness. So what happened here? Now we need Rashi. Af possesses Rashi, anu tzuchim ledivrei agada. We need the words of agada. Ra'ahu she'enu kedai. It's not fitting. Lishtamesh bo rishayim. It's not fitting for rishayim to use this light. V'hivdilo letzadikim. And He separated it for the tzadikim. Latid lavo. For the future to come. So what does this mean? What does this mean? The or and the choshech, right, were be'irbuvia, were a mixture of light and darkness. And He separated this for the tzadikim latid lavo. He separated this for... So why did He create it that way in the beginning? Why did He brought it into the world as a mixture of light and darkness and then separate it for the world? And for the world to come, for the tzaddikim latid lavo, for the future world. Why are you doing it in such a way? Why do a priori, without separation? Created the spiritual worlds, the physical world, the light is going to be in the spiritual worlds, those are going to be the worlds of reward. Instead He mixed it, and then separated it. Why did it in that way?
It sounds almost like the separation between din and what?
Chesed? And good chesed, yeah. But why He mixed it and then separated it? Why He did that way? Why He made it change His mind? You with me in the question? You understand the question? Because the very fact He mixed it and then separated it, its presence wasn't completely removed. I.e., this is a world where we can find God's presence. This is a world we can relate it. The true revealing of this presence will be Latid Lavo, and will be Ne'ne Ve'ezi Vashkina. But this is a world where His presence can be felt. This is a world where there is an irbul of light and day, so to speak. There is a mixture of goodness and bad. And we can relate to the goodness. There's a Rishima, there's an impression of that in this world. You with me? Just its place is in the world to come. Its place where it's clear and recognizable in a full way is in the world to come. But He created a birabuvia in a mixture in order to separate it for the world to come. You understand? Yeah? Okay. Let's go back to it. When I do good, I'm going to feel His presence. I'm going to feel the goodness of that deed that I did. I'm going to feel it better when I do good. If it's proper good. But the full goodness of that good I feel won't be till the world to come. There I'll get the full embellishment of that goodness. Because that's the world of schar, that's the world of reward. So I'm going to get me'ein olam haba here when I do that goodness. And there's a Ruach Chaim. Ruach Chaim Velozhin explains, when a person does a mitzvah, the Ruach, the spirit of Gan Eden, is surrounding you. What does he mean by these things? It's not like hocus pocus. He means you feel good. You feel me'ein olam haba. You feel me'ein the reward. When a person's feeling good about life, because he's doing the proper things. If you feel bad about life, you're doing the wrong thing. If you don't feel good about yourself, you don't feel enlightened in the sense of, you know, you have that simchas chaim, that joy of life. Not because you're eating an ice cream. The real deep joy doesn't have to be, you have to be, you know, running around and chasing things, right? But that inner depth of goodness means you're doing the right things. There's like a barometer everyone has in them. We can feel that we're doing the right thing. A human being has his own barometer. How do you know? Judaism or another religion or anything else. How do you know what's the correct way? Because you created in Tzelem Elokim, because you have a neshama, that neshama permeates your goof, permeates your body. When it permeates your body, when you're doing the right thing, you will feel that barometer of goodness. If you're not feeling good about your life, there's something wrong. You will feel pain. You'll feel shmama, desolation. There'll be tohu. Yeah, there might be a little bit of bohu, because you won't completely negate yourself, but there won't be vihi or. There won't be the all that light in your life. There won't be that goodness that you feel in your life. You'll feel that which is missing. And when you go and look for that goodness and you behave in the proper way, you will feel it. There'll be an embellishment of that goodness. But it won't be complete, because the place for that complete feeling of that goodness is the world to come. You understanding now? Make sense?